Hi, I'm Alec.
I'm Eric.
We're the Betchy Brothers.
And this is StoryTap, where we tap the potential of an idea by turning it into a story.
This episode, Maelstrom, an open-world seafaring fantasy RPG.
I had two ideas. Oh, right.
Ooh.
Well, you don't know Tara too much about the Halo universe. I was considering, since I think it was just today that the Halo series on Amazon, I want to say, came out.
I don't know. Paramount Plus, who knows where anything is.
Paramount Plus sounds pretty right.
No,
I don't think Halo would be good for us because, one, you don't know that much about it.
Two, I listen to Haunt the Truth.
I don't know that much about it.
Fair enough.
And three, we did Captain Grey, which was basically like what we would think a Halo movie might be like.
We did plus we just did space stuff with Dr. Delphi, so.
Very true. My only other idea was just come up with an idea for a video game story out of the blue.
All right. What kind of game do we want to do?
This will be our very first video game.
New.
You pick, Mr. I don't play video games.
The problem you just cited with Halo? Alright.
Well, it's that I want to be able to show off our ability of making a story that anybody could be impressed by, even people who don't play video games.
Okay.
So, my little questionnaire for you. What kind of game, first of all, and by that I mean genre, like third person, first person, shooty, actiony, fighty, what?
I feel like the RPG is the one that interests me. It's kind of like the last game that I really got into was probably Knights of the Old Republic.
And that game was awesome.
It was awesome.
Okay. And so that we don't go talking for like 2 hours, we will just come up with like the main sort of overarching story. So basically, who is our main character? How does he get caught up in he or she? Because it's an RPG, so that'll be a pretty cool challenge, having to make it cookie cutter. So like the main character, their identity, we'll have to make them literally like they can be anything from anywhere. Ooh, that's
right.
Pretty fun.
Okay, yeah.
So who is our main character? What sort of motivation should they have? And who is the big bad, the villain? And we'll come up with, I suppose, like 5 unique sort of areas. You know how for space it would be like 5 planets. You have to go to each one for some
reason. So we're talking like an open world, which, I mean, you know, fits for RPG.
Mm-hmm. What is the genre? And when I say genre this time, I mean world and tone.
Okay. You know what I feel like is not seen? I've been watching Black Sails. I think like a seafaring kind of RPG would be pretty interesting. And that is a way to kind of have distinct areas, is like land masses, which have entirely different setups and kinds of people and challenges and stuff to do on them.
Very cool.
Maybe there's like a central one that's like a big city, and then these other areas that are entirely different.
Okay, that's pretty dope. I'm picturing it now. It's we'll call it Pirates of the Caribbean Online. Ooh. Or Pirates 101. Ooh. But I am
pirate
really...
pets.
I got already caught up thinking of, oh, ship combat. Will it just be fast traveling, or will we like have a ship? That does not have anything to do with story. So, for the sake of very unique sort of areas, because I don't want every spot to feel samey, like, and no disrespect to Assassin's Creed 4, but because that game was awesome. It's just that I put more of an emphasis on landscape diversity. In, especially video games, like in movies, it's pretty important to keep the audience, like, just visually, vibely engaged of like you're not watching very closely at all, but you can literally see like things are changing. It, like we were just in a hot lava kind of area, and now we're in like an icy cold. Ooh, Hoth, very cool. Ooh, Tatooine, very different. Landscape diversity is pretty important. So I think to keep this engaging without too much work, we'll increase the scale of things to include not the entire world, but, you know, at least two continents.
Okay. Okay.
And maybe the entire world.
I mean, I am kind of thinking, like, more of a fantasy vibe.
Aha.
It's not exactly, it's like, it's fantasy as in medieval, but as in being, like, fantastical.
Yeah.
Like, okay, there's so this not, one
not
area.
Like, it's not, like, the year 18 something or other.
Yeah.
Okay, I see.
It's like,
nice.
Yeah, it is like, where you are is kind of like this early 1700s golden age of piracy vibe, but as you get out into other areas, you encounter different things.
Alrighty.
And then, like, you go out into one spot, and you have to drink a potion, you can jump into the water, and you can hang out with the fish people.
Oh, underwater levels. This is so cool.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm fiddling with knobs and such. But apparently I'm not fiddling enough. What's going on here? Okay, cool. We're good.
Okay.
We're only 6 minutes in. This is working so well.
Okay.
Underwater level. And I keep on getting caught up in gameplay because I underwater levels are so hard to get right. Like the water temple in, I think that was Ocarina of Time. I never played the game, but like, I know how bad it was.
People are still mad about it.
Exactly.
It was what? That was like 20 years ago.
Okay. So the tone, I think, will be much like pretty much every other fantasy RPG.
Okay.
It's like E, 10 and up to T rated, maybe it's even M, but it's fantasy violence. It's not like dark, not pessimistic. There's like, not exactly the chosen one, but like the protagonist is just special. It's not survival crafting, very pessimistic kind of stuff is what I'm getting at.
Uh-huh.
It's not a Souls game, though it is a fantasy RPG. It's more in the realm of like Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasy, or KOTOR.
Right.
But it's all on one planet, because, or maybe there could be, no, okay, okay.
The space ocean.
The space ocean. We don't want to get too caught up. We don't want the scale to be too big.
Yeah. Don't go full Brandon Sanderson here.
Yeah, okay, so I'm kind of imagining a sort of Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild kind of ambiance.
I like that.
Of, it's a free roam game where you kind of decide the order of how things happen in the middle. There is a very clearly beginning, like we're restricted to one sort of area doing one specific sort of thing, and then I suppose we get our ship, and that is what opens up the majority of the game, the middle, where we have to go collect or do four or five tasks around so that we can unlock or make the last area, you know, possible to complete. And for those of you at home who didn't play Breath of the Wild, and Alec here, who might be fuzzy on the details, I know I talked a lot about it, but you didn't play it yourself.
I did not.
So I'll jog your memory. There is the area in Zelda Breath of the Wild, and I think we're just going to copy this for the most part to save time. There's the Grand Plateau, which is kind of, I think it was pretty far south. It might have been like dead center in the middle of the whole map, and it was a huge map. The deal was it was sort of elevated off the ground, so the only reason you could get off of it was because you got a glider, and you only got the glider after you completed some like tutorial type of thing. And so what I'm thinking of is it'll be like an extended tutorial where you meet people, you talk about stuff, and then you get a ship, and maybe we sail the ship from spot to spot, or maybe I might be getting too caught up in the gameplay of it again.
I mean, kind of.
Yeah, we should make it more Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, where going from one area to another is like, let's chart our course, and then you enter like a cutscene and you go there.
Okay, I like that. I think that divides it up. I think that, you know, on the water should be an element. Oh, sometimes in KOTOR and in other games, there was like, there were sequences that you had to go through to get to the new planet. This time, there was like a sequence to go through to get to the new island.
Yeah, like how in KOTOR, it was like, where are we going now? Oh, we're on Kashyyyk, let's go to Tatooine. And then while you're on the way there, it's like, oh, we're being ambushed by whatever. And then we're being ambushed by Sith ships. And then you'd have to go in the gunner scene, and you'd have to blow up all the Sith ships before you could get to Tatooine.
Okay.
And we could add like a little ship. It would basically be a mini game. It wouldn't be like a role playing, like, oh, build up your ship, make it this and that. It would just be a mini game.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I like that. I think there's a lot to be said for, I think that kind of thing can be really fun. It's like, build up your ship and blah, 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 blah. Get more cannons, whatever. But yeah. I don't know why. That. I don't know why I feel like we would not do that.
No,
we would never make it. But
anyway, okay. But now that we've got the beginning, the middle is pretty clear. But what is the end? Is it? Well, now we're getting into like specific world building. So, I suppose when world building, we should start with. Should we start with? Like the culture and the people and societies and stuff, or should we start with the characters and the protagonist?
I think we can kind of kick off both at once.
Okay.
I think that this lends itself well to, like, one, you should watch Black Sails, Eric, because you'd like it. But I think that just starting off with someone who lives like kind of a standard life. He's we've got our sort of genderless, faceless character who is the child of a fishing village, and the big empire comes in and conquers the island. His or her family is a casualty of the conquest, and they're like, I don't like you guys, I am going to rebel against you. And I feel like either the first thing that you do is you leave the island, or you, after you get squashed, you wash up on the beach with this island of rascally ne'er-do-well rebellious piratey types who are in open rebellion. The phrase that keeps getting used in Black Sails is war against the world. Ooh. Right, what a great or you can stay on that island, and I kind of already like, or we can stay on the island and like be the one who starts rebellion.
And I think there
are merits to both. I think it really depends on what kind of game we wanna have.
For the time's sake, I dig the former. I think we should go with the former.
Okay, you wash up.
Yeah,
you're in.
And what was that? Was that Fable 2? You are like the daughter/son of some important bloodline. We'll keep it kind of ambiguous, but right now it's like not loyalty. It's kind of royalty. You're like the prince or the princess or whatever. And maybe because with anything fantasy, there has to be some sort of chosen one element. And I think just being like a prince or a princess destined for something is pretty great. And I'm already digging it. Three endings.
Okay. Three endings.
One, and it could be, oh, this is really cool, I'm digging it. The three endings, the three sort of paths you can go down, because part of the appeal of an RPG is like choose your approach to things. There is one, do you want to be the upstanding moral type where like, you're not, it's like arguable if you're even like a pirate, because pirates loot and steal and blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. It's just so easy to be like a good upstanding person when the evil empire is right there. So you're basically only targeting the light side.
Okay.
This is the good guy path. There is pretty much objectively like the bad guy, dark side path where you're like letting your crew know like, oh, we're only recruiting people who are also willing to join the Empire. Like, I'm not going in there to kill the big bad and restore peace or whatever. I'm going in there to take over, to kill the big bad and then take his job.
Right, okay.
And then there is the middle path of, I don't care about nothing, I'm a pirate now. And basically I'm going in there to be like, no rules, yay!
Okay, I actually really, okay, I really like that.
There's good, bad, and anarchist. And then,
yeah.
And then Gryffindor or something.
So it's like, I mean, no, yeah, it's like you establish, like, a more equitable government where everyone's interests are represented. Do you just take the totalitarian government and run it yourself? Or do you just, like, blow up the castle and see what happens?
Yeah. Okay. Holy moly. Okay.
I like it.
Noah would love this game.
Okay, cool.
Noah is a very big fan of just, like, chaos as an option.
Chaos as an option is fun. I like that. I love that as an ending. It's like, good, bad, I'm a pirate.
Good, bad, and pirate. That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so I like this. I think that... I think it is kind of missing an element that sets it apart, and I've got something that, one, adds game mechanics,
mm-hmm.
and two, sort of lets us explore lore and world build and gives our character a little more texture and backstory.
Mm-hmm.
There's this chosen one option, this like this whole deal. I think that in a world, in a seafaring centered world, which is like sort of oriented as like, this is a world of islands, and we're all sailing, we're all seafaring nations. I think a magic that would work well with that is control of the weather.
Oh, snap. So
like, and you are like the you come from this tiny island nation, and your family is the one of these weather magicians.
Yeah.
Oh. It's been conquered. So it's like, it goes beyond that. It's like, you're just like kind of a normal person, but your family was specifically targeted.
Yeah.
Because kind of the goal of this empire, of this version of like the British Empire is... and we don't necessarily have to do that, but also, like, it's the British Empire. It's like, they took over the Earth. That was, it's easy.
Okay, I'm digging it.
Okay, yeah.
Instead, they
want to control all of the people. They want to have complete control over the weather, so they are targeting those families and making sure that everyone who can do that is associated directly with them.
All right. And there we have our first MacGuffin type thing.
Right. Oh, and that's why you can't move to certain islands until you progress through the game, is that there is weather control. There are weather spells, and you need like enough power, or you need some kind of artifact to break them and travel to the next island.
Not first MacGuffin. The MacGuffin. There are like instruments. I pictured like a flute. Maybe it's like, I don't know, an ocarina, where you like... learn new songs, and it's like a song of Song of Storms. Wow. Look at me go.
Unexpected Zelda ripoff.
Yeah, pretty much. Not exactly. That in Sekiro, or not Sekiro, in Tsushima, in Ghost of Tsushima, there was zero in-game explanation for it. It was just, do you not dig it raining? Like, is that like a downer on your gameplay? Well, then, like, play a little tune on your flute, and now it's sunny.
Oh, fun.
Basically doing that, maybe something about it, maybe it has to be you playing it. It's magical instruments, but also magical you.
Yeah. Okay.
Where, like, the flute makes it sunny or something, and, like, basically, the bad Empire people are going around stealing the instruments. So that they can control all the weather and all the trade and everything.
Right. Okay. Or
you. Okay. There are three endings. One, take all the instruments for yourself. Two, distribute the instruments so that there's like some sort of distribution of power. And three, just break the instruments. There are no rules. I'm a pirate.
I mean, I like that.
We are at the beck and call of the rain and sun. Okay, very cool.
Very cool.
Very awesome.
Okay, I particularly like that because it has the opportunity, like, that's clearly, that can be very serious the whole time, but it can also be profoundly silly.
Yes.
Because you can have, like, a concertina that lets you...
You're a one-man band, and you tape the harmonica in front of you. You just put the one-man band up in the crow's nest, and you're like,
yeah. But you can also have, like, almost the opposite. You can have the band on the Titanic, but instead they're on the shore and they're sinking the Titanic.
Oh man!
Like, and I mean, the idea that, like, if you can, and this is cool because it means you can add people to your party, and it's like, if these people are also those kinds of magic users, you can work literally in concert with them, and you need to, like, have a certain number of people before you break the spell over the waters to get to the next location.
There you go. Okay. So this first area, since there are like 4 or 5 areas to go in the middle of the game, then we should probably come up with at least, okay, we'll stick to 4. There are 4 Act 2 areas, and Act 2 is going and gathering the instruments before you put them all together, and then you're like, let's go kill the big bad, and like, look, return of the prince/princess.
Okay.
So we should come up with, since there are 4 in the middle, we'll come up with 1 Grand Plateau tutorial sort of area at the beginning, which might also be your hub world, I don't know. And then 6, the last one. That, yeah, and it could be, number 1 is the tutorial area, number 2 is cold, number 3 is hot, number 4 is jungle, number 5 is water temple or whatever. And then number 6 is... where that first, like, cutscene at the very beginning of the game was. That was, like, your home village that got totally wrecked by the big bads. And then that's sort of, like, the end game area. That's where, when you're about to cross over there, it's like, warning, this is the end of the game. Or do you want to save and build up your ship a little more before you go in here? You dig it?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. So that gives us 6 things to come up with. Let's start with... Okay, we're almost about halfway through. It's almost been about 30 minutes. So, let's just come up with the first tutorial area. Before we do, before we even start, what are the races of peoples? And basically what I'm asking is everybody human? If not, do we divide up based on, like, magical traits? Are there, like, is one area... I guess that would work. KOTOR style. Like, these are all mer people. These are all lizard-looking dudes. These are all coconuts. These are lobsters. It's getting a lot of ocean-like.
Okay, and I think that works well, because if you have those multiple islands, then you can have your first little tutorial area be... this small island where, like, there are people from all over. It's a pretty united society. It's like, you come from this location that is it's a diverse place, and it could be like any kind of and you can be any one of these kinds of people. Oh, and come from it.
Very cool. Okay, yeah, so are you saying, like, character creation, you pick your race at the beginning of the game?
Yeah.
That's pretty dope. Oh, man, that gives you some really cool narrative autonomy of, like, oh, yeah, area number 4, otherwise known as my homeland.
Right.
But, you know, I'm an immigrant, so, like, ooh,
mm-hmm.
I don't feel any, you know, terrestrial connection. No. It's but just you know... purely... historical.
Yeah, that would affect how you're perceived in that area. It's like, you've got more charisma in this area than you would Or maybe you have less charisma because, I don't know, they don't like you for being, for leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So this is pretty cool. So we've got...
Well, okay. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves. We'll save that for the second half because there's a lot to unpack there. And we've only got 5 minutes before the commercial break.
Okay. So we've got a...
So by choosing your own race... You're essentially deciding which race of, or which mythical race is the royal one. You know what I mean?
I mean, actually, you know what? I don't know. I feel like there's a more interesting way to kind of decide that. It's like saying, that's the royal one.
Yeah, we've kind of run into a little bit of trouble in that making the protagonist a sort of chosen one does lock them into certain things because it's there's too many variables you would have to move around with character customization, but also allowing story to have a bearing on gameplay that way.
Well, I think that saying it's like having it be like you are special because you are a weather mage.
Yeah.
Like, you're special because you're a weather mage. You are, and I think maybe in this first location you find, you're given the first instrument by, like, I don't know, a crone or a hag or a wise old wizard or something. And then he's like, the wielder of this one will do the blah-bitty-blah. And then he dies.
Yeah. Beginning cutscene, you're just chilling with your family. And maybe that's part of the tutorial. You're like, hey, yeah, everything is good. And then, like, some older... Or maybe, like, one of your parents is like, this is the cool little magical instrument. We only break out when it's important to do so. And, someday it's going to be yours. Oh, looks like that day's today because they're on our shores and they're killing us. Yeah. And like, here, take it. And then they put you in a box and float you down the river. I mean, whoopsies.
The British Navy, but with less dumb hats.
They would be unstoppable.
Yeah. Oh, indeed.
Okay.
Really nerfed themselves with those hats and wigs.
Okay. I think, and I've played a lot of video games, so I'm just going to say this is how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
But feel free to tweak it. The first act is basically all set up. Hey, like I said, here we are chilling with the fam. We're magic. Nobody else is. Like, that's why we're royal. Nobody else is. By deciding
your
race.
That's why we're in charge of this island.
Yeah, by deciding your race, you're basically only deciding the race of you and like your two parents in game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only sort of variable that moves around. Wow, that was pretty airtight. S hits the fan. I gave up cursing for Lent. S hits the fan. And your parents basically, like, give you the instrument. Maybe you don't even know how important the instrument is, but the point is you get away last Kryptonian style.
Mm-hmm.
And you wash up on the shores, and there's this sort of older mentor type,
right,
who, like, finds you.
Maybe becomes your first party member.
Usually, traditionally not, because they're, like, the mentor.
Okay.
And if they do join your party, then they, like, die or leave before the end of the game. Okay. Because they're this, you know, the hero of a thousand faces.
Got it.
Yeah, he's gotta go.
But
what I was going to say is, you wash up on the shores and you think the flute was, it's a flute already, you think the flute or whatever instrument, the first instrument, the flute, was lost while you were drifting on a piece of driftwood or something, because you were unconscious, and then when you woke up, you were in this old dude's, like, shack, and he's like, oh, you're finally awake, and blah, 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 blah. And then once you finish the tutorial, he's like, well, you gotta go. You go blaze your own trail. By the way, you were holding this when you washed up. Here's the flute.
Nice.
And so that, like, the flute is, like, you should only get it once you know the tutorial is over, but it would make more sense narratively for you to have had it at the very beginning. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's the mentor doing his job. And, that's 30 minutes. I think there's just enough to give us another 30 minutes. We'll come up with who leaves with you from that tutorial area. We'll come up with the different races and what you got to get accomplished and how the three choices of ending has a bearing on gameplay in that middle part. And then we'll decide who the big bad is and what their motivation was all along. Spoiler alert, I think racial tensions could play a pretty cool role in this story.
Oh my. All right. I like it. Okay. We'll be right back.
All right. There was really nothing to come up with. Could name... normally we would name, like, the characters, but...
But one, we hadn't really thought of any characters.
Yeah, and two, the protagonist, it's an RPG. You're going to give them a name.
Yeah. That, or we get a default one, and every default name should be Riff Jaspera, which is the name we had from Knights of the Old Republic, and we still name stuff Riff Jaspera.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
It's an awesome... Anyway.
Yeah.
The name of the game is Maelstrom, which is like a big, dangerous, rainy whirlpool in the ocean.
Yeah.
It's very piratey.
Yeah. It's just a great thing to call anything.
Yeah.
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 Cool.
Okay. And I don't know. We can call the instruments, like... we can call it Maelstrom music.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah. The okay. Relics.
Okay, so... We're kind of just breaking down the little band of rogues that you assemble and, like, what you do in each location, right?
Yeah.
So, your island nation gets wrecked by a slightly more, by a slightly modified version of the colonial British Navy. I don't know. We'll put something else on them. And I feel like that should be a thing. That should be a thing. It's like they show up, they've got somebody with an instrument at the head of the fleet. Actually I really like this is they've got four people playing some kind of stringed instruments in unison, and they're the quartet, and they're like this collective WMD.
Oh, that's pretty tight. Just
absolutely destroy your island. And I feel like that is kind of a distinct thing, is that you've got this larger geopolitical element. It's like we're gonna go to the capital and defeat the and take the empire either for ourselves or just destroy it or whatever. But there is this personal element running through the whole thing, and it is I'm gonna defeat the quartet.
Ooh, yeah, okay. And, boom, already, we could make it, like, four or five, I think we decided on four, second act, middle of the game areas that you kind of decide which one, what order you go to them in. The quartet, they could be like, hey, we don't want all the quartet being in one spot because, you know, it's dangerous, and so we sent each one to each spot, and we don't have to worry because the royal family is dead, right? And that way there can be like a boss per zone, a cutscene boss, so to speak, because there's like mini bosses along the way, but there are five real cutscene bosses. There's each of the quartet, and then there is the one big boss at the end who you fight in the beginning, maybe, and he thinks he kills you, but really, he just... The big boss at the end is the British Colonial Navy guy who, like, led the quartet and was like, let's go. And so, what are the four... I guess, the four regions, and here's, like, the overarching story I was thinking of. The deal is, what you think is the good, air quotes, good, the light side path... story path, so to speak, is you think just avenging your parents and going back to the way things were is the way to go, but then you start learning from the four regions, my fam was not so great at this. Like, not outright, like, segregation.
You know, I didn't really view the family as being, as, like, having control over all of this space. It's like it was an independent island nation. It was like, hey, we kind of do our own thing, we're soft isolationist. It's like, not really. It's like, anybody's welcome here, but it's like, you know, we don't really worry about what's going on. It's like, yeah, the empire, it's like, I don't love what they're doing out there. And it's like, the empire shows up and it's like, hey, we're gonna take your island.
Yeah.
Yeah, so having it be a separate thing, and you being like, all right, well, I'm involved now.
Yeah.
And I have my flute, and so now I'm gonna do this. And now it's... So, in that way, it pulls you into an established conflict, is that the Empire has control over... Now, with after taking your home, they kind of have control over pretty much the whole world. And you go and incite pockets of resistance.
Yeah.
So there's the four... So there's your island where we start and we do a little bit of like, hey, here's how you jump, you moron. You wash up on the shore of the first island where you get a little bit of like magic training or whatever from an old wizardy guy. And then he gives you your flute and then... He dies, or he goes into the basement, or whatever happens to him.
He'll come back at the end of the game.
So maybe. What happens with our first... and actually, I guess, kind of, what is the magic mechanic on land? Because, like, weather control and magic should be part of minigame going from island to island.
Yeah, it could be the different aspects of, like, meteorological activity. I stuttered so bad, and I'm not even gonna say that again and go back and edit it to make myself sound smarter. The different aspects of meteorological activity is sort of condensation, so moisture in the air, temperature, wind currents, and lightning. So what I'm kind of thinking is
I know which one we're getting last.
There is the flute, there is the ocarina, there is the viola, not to be confused with the violin, and then there is the 9mm.
The handgun. Yeah, I kind of like this. It's like, yeah. like on the first island, it's like, do you feel damp? I feel kind of damp. It's like,
oh man, now my pits are moist. Well, at least the door is open. Oh no, this is a blue door. We got to come back when we get the blue instrument kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm picturing puzzle solving and just, you know, switch lever, activate this, you know, like I just said, the blue door, you need the blue instrument. It's like, oh, this door's not wet enough, we need the moisture thing.
Right.
But what I'm picturing is you can use them, like, together. So, like, this door, or this obstacle, like, this area is flooded, let's say. It's, there's ice everywhere. And it's like, oh, well, I can see there's, like, a grate down there that I want to get on the other side of. There's treasure. Okay, well, not only do I have to get rid of the water with the weird little, moisture, yeah, with the flute or whatever, I also have to melt the ice first. So that way you need, like, two instruments. And
got it.
Maybe, since it's a fantasy thing, we can also have some stuff powered by electricity. Not right. Very much, because...
I like that. I think that works well. Okay, yeah, I think that works
pretty tight.
Well, so the idea in this is kind of like... I kind of like this. This feels like there's very limited magic in this world, is that it's people who can use these instruments, and they need these instruments, and the quartet... the quartet and the people who wind up being part of your party are kind of the only ones who can do this.
Yeah.
It's like they come from I don't know. There were families, and there used to be a lot of them, but the Empire exterminated all of the other lineages.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So the four different areas. The very beginning, it's the castle or wherever your family lives. It's not necessarily a big sprawling kingdom, but it's a big castle. You have servants or something. It's like, oh, we're important because people, you know, are grateful that we use our magic flute power to make trade easier, and we don't like have tolls necessarily. We don't have fees. People ask and we decide what's kind of best, and then the reason we have so much is because of people's like gratitude and good graces. And then the Empire, their deal is like, no, we think everything should have a price. We're coming through and we're getting a monopoly on everything.
Yeah.
So there you have the capital. Not the capital, I said it again. There you have the very first area is like a castle, very medieval, very high towers, ivory tower type of cool stuff.
Uh-huh.
Then you have the exact opposite for the tutorial level. That's like shanties for days.
Right.
Very horizontal as opposed to vertical. And now...
on the beach and stuff.
And now in the middle, we have to come up with... okay, so the condensation one. Okay, no, now there's five instruments as opposed to four.
Huh?
Because you have a flute and then you need to gather four more.
I mean, I think that you just gather three more. For all intents and purposes, you're the first one. And then the first person that you get to join your group can be, like, the guy with the boat. He is the ship captain. You save him, like, you see him out on the water, and you save him from the Navy.
Okay.
You save him from the government forces. He's like, well, thank you so much. I don't like the government. I'm going to come with you. And what are we doing? And you're like, well, in my nondescript voice, I need to get to the next island. I need to get to Fire Island. No. I need to get... well, you know.
I
need to get to Temperature Island. I think that we've... like, since we've already had a tropical island, I think it's good to have the next one be... It's Nordic.
Ooh.
It's like, okay, you are in Viking land, and it is freezing.
Yes, it's like a freezing high... not super high altitude, because I want to save that for the lightning up level.
Right.
It's like a super cold kind of area, but with like a volcano in the middle. That way it's not just cold, it's temperature themed.
That's great.
It's cold, it's hot.
I love that.
Oh, that's tight.
Like, that's how people can live here.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Okay, so we do that. You save your, you save the ship's pilot first on your first island, and he's kind of piratey. He's sort of a piratey guy, and he's like, arg, let's roll. And then you go up to the north, and, you know, there's some comedic effect there. He's like, I don't like this. It's cold. I'm from a warm place.
Sam McGee.
And you encounter, I don't know, a beefy character. That's a weird way to put that, but like, it's a
beefcase.
Big person.
Wisa from Encanto.
Yeah. What kind of, that's actually, yeah, I like that.
Luisa
from Encanto.
Exactly, one but for one.
Obviously, for our purposes, she plays an instrument.
I really like it when the like big buff one in the group is a woman.
Yeah,
just because, like, so rarely do I feel like just changing the gender of a character adds like, you know, some sort of identity.
Yeah,
it's like, oh well, what if the smart one was a girl, and I'm like, then it's the same. I don't care. But that one is like one of the only ones that has been so tied to gender. Excuse me. Gender?
Yeah. This works on gender here.
Okay. That is the one sort of like character trope or whatever that is tied to gender that when it is like reversed and done well, I don't know why, but I love it.
I like that actually. I think that that's kind of worth noting.
Yeah.
Specifically, is that it is very, it's distinctly different. And it is more than just a choice that you do just so that you have, like, just to balance the gender makeup of a group.
Exactly.
Okay. So
we find a Lowy.
Yeah.
That's League of Legends.
Okay, sure.
Be grateful.
What instrument,
you don't get
that. What instrument is it?
What
instrument would control temperature?
Come on. Oh, well, I was going to say drums.
I was going to say drums, too, but that sounds lightning-y.
Oh, man, drums. Oh, my gosh. Okay, we're saving that one. Drums is definitely lightning. That's so raw. Thunder and lightning, like, boom.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
Actually, I kind of like that. If it's like, what are those Japanese drums that play?
Oh, taiko drums.
Taiko drums. I think taiko drums, really, that works really well.
That's really dope. I like that a lot. Okay, the big burly Nordic type, maybe like a horn, because Vikings have horns.
I like that actually.
Oh,
that works really well.
Though we do already have two wind instruments, but it's fine. We can just change the flute. I mean, this isn't a final draft. Whatever. So there's like, it can be like a, it can be a horn that you like blow into like the small bit and it goes, and then it gets cold. And then you literally just turn it 180 degrees, blow into the big bit and it's like, and then it gets hot or whatever.
Awesome. Okay. And you fight the, the cellist. I actually really like this idea that, you know, without you know, condemning the stringed instruments or something. That's like the dumbest thing I've ever said. It's like, I don't want to come off as string phobic.
I don't want to disparage the violist.
But I think that this idea of like everyone's, we've assembled this group of people from a bunch of different parts of the world to do this, to come together and have their strengths, as opposed to like this the four people who have sort of the versions of instruments that all come from the same place and all are basically different versions of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty so awesome, cool. Actually. This is like, a really fun this is game. Very tight. I
can't wait to play it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think the flute should be the wind.
Okay.
Because, plot-wise, wind like has the potential to be like this super catastrophic thing, but your family was like benevolent about it and was like, no, we're just doing it to like make trade easier. And that can be like your secret sauce as like the chosen one with something special going on.
Right.
It's like, you know, you got the ship and you can, it's like, oh, everybody else has to wait for currents to act a certain way. And you're like, and then poosh, you're just supersonic.
Okay.
Because you just put wind in the sails instantly.
By the way, a requirement is like having some weird Easter egg where, every time you go from one island to another, you just play the Benny Hill song with more instruments.
That's great. I was singing Megalovania. It's like, all right, where do we want to go? Toronto, you got it. We're there.
Okay, I really, dumb. I like this. This is fun.
This is awesome. So we've got the flute, we've got the horn, we got something.
We fight the bassist or the cellist or whatever.
Right. Some stringed instrument.
Some stringed instrument and you know, obviously, if we had a lot of time, we could talk a lot about how each of these people's personalities and sizes are different, and how they do dictatorship on their respective corners of the globe.
Yeah, and I do like, what I don't like is your decisions in games where they're like, decide your ending. It's really just like, play the game, and then at the end, click 1, 2, or 3 ending.
Uh-huh.
I hate that.
Yeah.
What I do
Knights kind of had you locked in at a certain point, didn't
yeah,
it?
You were good up to a point, and then after a certain point, it was like, oh, you're doing the good bit. And
yeah.
And it's like, you can still change things, but like what you have done already has been done.
Right.
It's not just like at the end, it was like I've been a jerk all game, but I chose the good ending, so now I'm the good
nice.
Guy.
Okay.
So what I like is you can make promises along the way without the intent to keep them. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So yeah. like
in a relationship. That is a quote from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh.
It's like, how do I make someone love me? Flowers, chocolates, promises you don't intend to keep.
Promises you don't intend to keep. I dig it. Not that.
No, you should keep your promises.
No, yeah. I think we should make it really clear and like straight up in like an overlay in like letting the player know, not the character. Or maybe someone talking to the character like, hey, this person's asking a lot of you. We can be upfront about our intentions and just hope they come along with us anyway, but risk missing out on a companion, which in Knights of the Old Republic was a huge bummer.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can straight up lie to them. Basically, whatever you're saying you're going to do is not locking you into a decision in the end game. But if you are upfront with your intentions, they're like, I cannot abide by that. I'm not coming with you. And it's like, maybe that's just like, here, take the instrument and get out of my face. Or that's like, you'll have to kill me for this, and then you do.
Wow. Yeah, that's, I mean, that is,
I love story influencing games.
Those are drastically different games that you're playing. I really love that.
I love it.
Right. So, I mean, and that is, obviously that's kind of the same option for all of the regions. And then, so we have our first region, which is
The mountainous volcano.
Yeah, with the, there's icebergs. And I love that. I love that kind of as a mechanic, is that, like, you play the horn during the minigame, an iceberg forms behind you, and one of the ships that's chasing you crashes on it.
Ooh. That's dope.
Great. It's like, oh man, you know, like, do this combination in harmony to change the temperature and air pressure to make a, to make, to form a whirlpool. That's so cool. That's awesome. Oh, gosh, I love that. That's
dope. Okay. We've only got 10 minutes, and I have a really dope idea for the lightning last sort of area. Okay, so this middle area. And we could,
I mean, like it's, I said, the, it's the water one, right? So
yeah, underwater temple. Doi.
Underwater temple.
I didn't, like I said a minute ago, this isn't a final draft, so it can be changed around. But I feel like this could go either way, in that there is very clearly a first area to visit, and there is a... last area to visit, and it's a pretty linear game with, but it doesn't necessarily have to feel like one, or it could just straight up be, which island do I want to go to next, and you choose your own order.
Okay, I feel like that.
It could definitely be.
Kingdom Hearts did that, right? It's like, here's 2-3 places you can go,
and then next. Once you beat like 2 out of 3, then you can go to the next right. on this path.
So like you're only, so we kind of have one non-optional companion, and it's the guy with the boat.
Yeah.
It's the first guy with the boat. And then after that, you can just be, like, a monster.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Underwater temple. Well, we should come up with little stories. Okay, let's decide what the underwater temple is sort of like first. Is it underwater? Is it Atlantis? Or is it, like, something floating? It's gotta be underwater,
doesn't it? It's gotta be underwater. That's kind of, like, a fun part of it, is that your boat captain functions partially as this guide to the universe. He's like, hey, I'm an old seafaring man. I know things, but I'm not really old to just talk like this. I've just been around. Most of this skin damage is from the sun.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So he's like, what is this? I don't see anything. And then he's like, here, drink this and jump into the water. What? Drink fast.
Drink it fast before I kick you in the chest.
And then you fall down, you sink down, I kind of like this idea of, like, you are mostly walking on the ground. You are mostly walking on the ground, but you can kind of swim. You can swim up and jump, and obviously jump a lot higher in this area. Yeah, than you
I dig that as, like,
normally.
An underwater kind of thing. Yeah, more.
It also kind of makes sense physically, because, like, you're wearing your full clothes. You're weighed down by all your stuff.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So it's like mer people, and maybe they're racist. What?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a thing here, and it's that you might not be able to use your instruments, at least not the woodwind instruments, yeah. underwater.
Maybe this area is like a little unique, because like you can't use the woodwind instrument because you're underwater, and you can't use the horn because you're underwater. And you can't use the drum.
Because it would kill you all.
It would kill you and everyone around you.
Yeah.
It was like, all right, here, I'm smacking the drum, and your hand is going super slow because it's through the water. Everybody's dead. Okay, so this area is, like, locked off. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's like you need to have the water tool to use your other... You need the water instrument. What is the water instrument?
I'm thinking that's, like, our stringed one. Mostly because we're only missing one.
Fair enough. it feels very harpy, like a harp. That'd be great for that.
That would be really cool, because you don't need a bow for a harp.
Yeah, maybe a mini one, just because it'd be kind of funny if you had him, like, carrying around a harp.
Okay. Oh my God.
So the mer people are maybe racist?
Yeah, I mean, something so secluded. And, like, every time we've come to Atlantis, they're super xenophobic.
Yeah.
With good reason.
Yeah. Like, I mean, in this instance, it's like, yeah, let's see. How did it go for us last time some white people showed up?
Vandal Savage sunk the entire eastern seaboard or whatever.
Like, I mean, that actually really could work. It's like, you know, most of this used to be above water, right? Mm. And it's like, and the violinist or the violist or whatever, he sank this crap. He sank us underwater.
Yeah. Okay. So we got the lay of the land. It's a harp. They're mer people. And let's just say they can transform when they're above water, Luca style, rather than being locked in Little Mermaid style.
I think it should still kind of be like clear, like they transform something, like stuff about their physicality. It's like they still got fins on their arms and they still got weird eyes or something.
Yeah, so that way races still look unique.
Yeah, just like, I don't want you thinking I'm one of you people.
Okay.
That's weird.
But lastly, the Taiko Drum, the lightning area, that will be, and I'm speedrunning because we're already almost 25 minutes in.
Oh.
Taiko
Drum, last area.
That will be super mountainous, very, very vertical. Oh, right, I forgot to say, waterfalls. Like, it is super high up in the air, like stratosphere. So that, like, the air is, like, crackling, you know? So that, like, where lightning is made, I don't know.
Yeah.
But the deal is, the only reason you can get there is because you have the flute and you can go up waterfalls. And so, like, when you get there, they're like, what on earth? How did you get here?
And then there's, like, quick question. How do y'all get here? How do you leave and come back?
I don't know. Maybe they did something. Lightning. Like, they destroyed the staircase, the only staircase.
Yeah. Like, now where you thought the mermaids were isolationist.
Okay.
Okay,
so,
I like that. And then, you know, some of them are lizards or something, or some of them, like, the first one is, like, bear elves. People. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. Bear people they're are fun. They're furries, they're fish people, and these guys are elves.
Yeah. Okay. This is cool.
It's very cool. And we would have to come up with three unique stories. Wait, three? Four? Studios. That we would have to come up with a story for the Viking area with the furries,
like, oh, independent. Gosh. Okay, maybe let's walk that back. Yeah.
We would have to come up with three individual stories of, like, you as an outsider come through and then you're like, hey, what's going on here? And then you integrate yourself into the environment and then you sort of prove yourself to like either deserve or you straight up steal the instrument. And
right,
basically, what a video game is a bunch of tiny stories all working together to accomplish some bigger narrative.
Right.
And we just don't have time
fair
to
enough.
Really come up with those.
It's like, I know, I don't know. The first one, you learn to play their cool, violent sport. Second one, that just sounds fun to me. Second one, you got to find sunken treasure because sunken treasure's fun and we're pirates, you know? We're doing pirate stuff. Third one, you have to appease a mountain deity. Do you actually interact with the deity, or is it just like it's a cultural thing and like this is the only guy who knows how to get where we're going and we need him to cooperate and he wants to do this because he missed their version of mass last week, so we'll help him out.
It's a quick time event, like in the song the song Atlantis portion of Kingdom Hearts 2, which was terrible.
I guess
all optional though. That was a joke, we're not doing that. Okay, okay, so we've got the sports, we've got the, like, maybe it's a political mystery and the mer people, and then we've got what did we just say? Religious priest kind of thing.
Yeah, like we take him
with
up to this, we protect him to go up to this one mountain.
Yeah.
Like, or like go, it's like, hey, I gotta walk through government occupied territory to go visit the ice cream shop. I'm not great at ad-libbing. But, and then we've got all that, and when once we got the whole gang together, we go to the island, this little island that's governed the whole world. It's England. We do some stuff there. And then we have our confrontation with the final boss. I feel like in the final one, it's kind of a choice between... I think it works if the final level in quote-unquote England is... where things have sort of been determined by the actions you've taken.
Yeah.
Where you either secure alliances with the least evil people there or with the few people there who are actually good and are like, yeah, I don't want to subjugate people. Let's make a deal. Let's shake hands and I'll help you form a new government that represents everyone's interests. Or it's just you're straight up killing them all or you're finding out a way to take all their crap. If you go with the pirate ending, it's just depending. Different ending, different gameplay for this based on how you behaved in the first four locations.
Yeah.
And then you fight this guy. You've killed all the members of the quartet, but what's this? The Commodore, the Emperor Commodore, is a one-man band.
Oh, no. Who's that behind him? No, he's yodeling. What does that mean? Oh, wait. It's nothing. He's not.
It's a yodeler.
He's some guy yodeling.
Okay, but then you fight him, and then you can go back and go for 100% or whatever. I don't know how these games work.
I don't. 100% games. So that would be kind of a funny meme if you, like, were like, oh, you can go back and 100% the game now, and you get nothing for it. Like, not even an in-game... not even, like, a trophy or an achievement. Just mad disrespect. It's like, this one's from Eric. You get nothing.
Alright, I really love the way this came together.
Yeah, this is dope.
This is fun. I love these ones, where it's just like, you want to make up a video game? I'm like, yeah, whatever. I've been thinking about pirates.
This was a dope idea. If we had, like, a bonus segment on this show, like, I would be down to, like, live stream us going into more detail or something. Coming up with, like, a spreadsheet.
I think that could be fun to, like, do extra episode stuff. Like, go back, revisit things.
Yeah.
And, like, do another version where it's like, let's not revisit that. Just, like, get rid of it. Forget it. And there's not a bunch of those. There's like two or three at this point. We would say, how about no?
If we got some sort of following and then like did some marketing research. We're done, by the way.
I think this video game story is tapped.
Yep, as do I. So, the end.
The end. Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, make sure to leave a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Twitter @StoryTapPodcast. It helps a ton. And thanks again.